Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of USWAT Radio. Happy Sunday. This is Sunday, the 14th of June, and I'm delighted to be with you on the air. Can you believe we're already in the second week of June? Yesterday was the 13th, today's the 14th, and Lord knows we'll almost be done with the first month of June, but it's exciting to be here with you tonight from 10 to midnight studying the Word of God. Tonight was scheduled a questions and answer night. However, I think it was important that we come on the air and study and dialogue with you according to the scriptures, the things that God requires for today. We're living in an era and time, sons of God, that we must position ourselves in a manner of excellence and in the manner in which we have been anointed and unified with God in order to produce his intentions on the earth as it is in heaven. In doing so, I believe that it's important, even as the organization, one of the things that I've done is gone through in the last few weeks the every process of the organization as I get ready to go to my sabbatical and seek the Lord as to empower me for the rest of the year and for coming years as well, is that it's so important as believers that we do things in excellence. And so in order to do things in excellence, I've implemented a system for the Blog Talk Radio program that I believe is going to be very beneficial to those who are called to the ministry and also those who are called to be just advanced and excel in the things of God. And so what I've done is I've rearranged the schedule line. Of course, you know, we're on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, or really Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, if you want to go from first to last. Sundays is the first of the week, Tuesdays and Sundays. We're on from 10 to midnight, and we are on generally live or pre-recorded. It really doesn't matter. You can always download our programs, or if you're listening, if you don't have access to the Internet at that time of night, or you don't have access to the Internet at all, you can always call 646-595-4877, and we're going to be on systematically every week for 6 hours each week discussing the Word of God in detail. As you know, there's a season of consecration. Our consecration begins on the 25th. And, of course, you know, next week, or on this coming Thursday, rather, is a special Thursday in that we're going through the Bible, which is normally done on Sunday. So I'm going to explain the schedule after I pray, and we're going to get into acquiring the supernatural. Acquiring the supernatural is going to be tonight's lesson. I want to go over some principles I've gone over in times past, but you may be new to the audience and have not listened to the broadcast, so you might not know some of the principles that I'm going to go over. However, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of reorient us to some of the fundamentals that I've already established, because these particular principles are not being spoken over the pulpit necessarily always in all audiences. There may be some churches who are unified in the Spirit with me to communicate, but it's not always, it's very rare. And so I think it's important that we as the ministers of and the men and women of the gospel position ourselves in a way that we hear from God and that we collectively come together and study so that we can be a unified force to the world according to the Word of God being final authority. Now, that's one thing that I'm finding in all of whatever facet of the ministry, and this ministry has many facets of operations that I find myself in, one of the common agreements in all functions of this organization is that the Word has to be final authority. And if the Word is not final authority in your life, you're going to have problems with my doctrine. You're going to have problems with my study. You're going to have problems with communicating with my organization. It is my organization. It's the one in which the Lord invested in me to communicate to people. And a lot of times people don't take ownership. I know Dr. Duplantis has a great study on taking ownership of what you believe, and a lot of times when God gives you a vision, we don't say that it's the vision. We haven't become one with it because we say, oh, it's his word. No, it's our work that he's entrusted in us. And because we are one with him, we move, live, and have our being in him. We operate these ministries which God has entrusted as our very own. And I take ownership of this organization. And one of the things I find as I've gotten older and the dialogue with a lot of people in the ministry is that the Word of God is not final authority. Oftentimes in functions of their ministries, and then when they hear this type of teaching or they hear these types of studies, they can't really embrace the growth that is necessary to develop biblical enhancement, because the Word of God is not the final authority, and it's very important. So that's one of the universal principles, and that's what we're going to talk about today in inquiring the supernatural, because I think it's important before we go into supernatural things that we have some terms of agreement. And I believe that this lesson particularly in review and in retrospect will help you understand things pertaining to my ministry and pertaining to this program. Now, we meet on Sundays, Thursdays, and Tuesdays again. And I want you to keep listening on the because I'm going to give you tonight the Sunday lineup and kind of how, or I'm going to give you the whole lineup for the program, so that way you know what's going on. And with you having this understanding, your expectation won't exceed beyond what we have set in forth of this communication, because this is what we're offering. And a lot of things that we are not offering online, we have in other settings that you might want to invest into. One of the major ones that I want you to always remember is that if you're a minister of the gospel and you believe the Lord is directing you independently or hopefully not necessarily independently, because we're not independent people, we're interdependent on the Lord God. And we need to make sure if we are going out to establish a work that there's a connection among the saints of God who have been sanctified, who have been separated unto holiness to work as in union, because we're going after the same agenda, and that is to extend the kingdom of our Lord on earth as it is in heaven. And that is very important, that you associate yourself with others of like precious faith. I'm a person particularly who is prone to be independent and to be alone. I don't necessarily have a large company of companions or friends. And even in some of the companions and or friends, through introspection, I have distanced myself recently in order to go forward, because you can't keep associating yourself with people who you don't expect, who are not willing to take the road that you're taking. And if they're not willing to take the road that you're taking, you got to go. You know, so that's something that you learn through wisdom as over the years. And, you know, having 20 years in ministry, it's an accomplishment, because most people don't last that long. And most people my age don't last that long. And so when I say that in retrospect and thanksgiving to God and reverence toward the things of God, that he did not allow me to be raised with a consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of righteousness in him that could only be found in him when I'm in union with him. And as a result, a lot of the problems and the challenges that people face in other means and other streams, I have not encountered because of my determination to uphold those things which he had called me even before I was in my mother's womb. And with that being said, you're going to hear me teach from that vantage point, not from man's ordeal or how things are and then coming into a mode of reconciliation, but how God has intended it even before the foundations of the world. And I'm going to teach at that plane, which is a higher plane, and by the Spirit will direct you as to how to ascend toward those manners. And with that being said, you need to know this new schedule, because I think it's going to be very beneficial to you as ministers of the gospel as to how this organization is going to run on the NewsWise radio program. And if it's not going to benefit you, there's no need for you listening to it personally. But if it is going to benefit you, you need to have an understanding, and all that getting an understanding, and how can we walk together unless we agree? You need to know what we've come to terms with as it pertains to this particular ministry. I'm very strategic about what I want to come out of this. One of the things I want to come out of this organization is an association of ministers who meet on the basis of the Word being final authority, and have been ordained to lead others into worship. In order to do that, we set up an association called the National Assembly of Urban Worship Leaders, which simply means that we are leaders in the body of Christ who have been called, not only gifted, but called according to his purpose to worship, to lead others into worship, and to lead others into coming into, now, in order to lead others into worship, they need to come into the comprehension of who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what they can do in Christ, and how to approach the Lord or the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ to obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. That's why he established leadership and the perfect, which is ordained to function the perfecting of the saints. And in order to perfect the saints, you have to be in a state of perfection yourself. And that's why we have the National Assembly of Urban Worship Leaders, because we have set aside and dedicated and devoted our vocations that may be diverse into one common bond, exemplifying the final authority of the Word of God that has become our life, that has become our being, that has become our nature, that become our habits, that become our conduct and our character and our commitment to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that is the case, that's my major goal, is when you listen to these broadcasts, that you will not only listen, but get involved into what we're getting involved in. And again, I neglected Thursday. I was on an ecclesiastical journey honoring a pastor for 12 years in ministry, establishing a church. And I neglected to go over with you last Wednesday. I was a part of history in D.C.'s stance against the Board of Ethics, and I would encourage everyone in the District of Columbia to really challenge the Board of Ethics as they first of all, they want to redefine the Human Rights Act by embellishing on the sexuality clause as if the Human Rights Act is being violated when we don't allow homosexuals to have the same rights as same-sex marriages. And I want you to understand that that is the major purpose at hand. It's a legal battle, and we have to become excel in legality, if you will, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, as to point out that the Human Rights Act is not being violated when a person is not lawfully granted a certificate of marriage as same-sex. One, you cannot change a term that you did not create. I don't care how much you culture tries to demand a context, demands a contextual change. Cultures do not change definitions. Definitions, once the only person that can do that is the source of authority, so you have to find the source of authority of the term marriage and then challenge that source, and that source is God, because God ordained the institution of marriage according to the Bible and according to world history. The concept of marriage is a Christian concept that has been adapted by multiple religious concepts that can only be exemplified in a male and a female coming together. First of all, same genders cannot have at one time. They've changed the definition of sexuality, of course, but a male and a male cannot have sex, even though a male can penetrate another male and have an intercourse, but the intercourse of sexuality takes place between two of the opposite sex. But that has been changed because of cultural changes, and they're trying to do the same thing with marriage. I want everybody, and I wanted to make sure that I say that there are challenges out here. There are 6 states in the United States that have already embraced that concept. I was at a meeting on Wednesday for D.C. I'm not a resident of D.C., but because my ministry is based in the nation's capital, I have to make certain that I'm active and alerted to what is going on so that way I can speak to the powers that be on behalf of the one who sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of his Father. And so I'm stating this to you because, one, the church needs to be educated on sexuality. It needs to be educated on marriage, and it needs to be educated on human rights. And we need to learn these things and find out how the Constitution of the United States that we live in, if we live in the United States, because I know there may be some that live throughout the world that listen, but we need to find out exactly what the scriptures have stipulated as a conviction source for us to voice our concerns concerning these matters, because a lot of states are using the excuse of a Human Rights Act violation as a means to certify or give certificates of marriages to people who have determined and made a choice to be defined based on their sex or based on their lust, really, because it's really not sexual. It's not really sexuality in the nature in which God created it. And God created sexuality in the confines of marriage. And when someone determines to violate sexuality out of his terms, then you're subject to their interpretation. And unfortunately, the systems and the constitutions which were established on the fundamentals and the principles of God's word are now being challenged with these issues. And first of all, it begins in the home. You need to make sure that the word of God is final authority in your house, so that when your house can exemplify the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ in whom you represent. And that's what's happening. A lot of these church people, and of course, you know, they use the attack of homophobia, but a lot of the church organizations are failing, you see, because they fail to acknowledge and to uphold the nature of the Lord Jesus. And so as a result of them failing to acknowledge the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus, they have challenges with identifying what exactly they should represent, because their houses are being raised and the same things that are happening in the world are happening in church or quote-unquote church homes. And they're not. So we're going to talk about the family. This year, we're going to talk about the family in the Rhema groups, and I encourage you to come to the Rhema groups also, which we have in our live locations. And we're still researching in Maryland a location, so be in agreement with me that there will be a location that arrives in the Bowie area, and or if not Bowie area, the Northern Maryland area, that we can get in there and really discuss some things in the Word, because I think it's important that we have an idea of what is going on. Amen. And so I was a part of that on Wednesday, and I was supposed to communicate that on Thursday, and I did not, but by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he reminded me, and I said a lot, actually, about sexuality, about same-sex marriages, and these are issues that the Scripture does have something to say about it. Some people say the Scripture does not address these things. It does. However, it doesn't address it in the manner in which we address it, because the Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws to the conclusion the Word of God is final authority, because the Word is the reality of the Lord Jesus in present time. And the way we uplift the Lord Jesus is not by just voicing his name. Of course, his name contains his authority, but his authority is revealed based on the words that he spoke and the actions that he communicated. Hallelujah. And so we need to take into reference and retrospect and understand that we need to come up with some stronger solutions. And that's the purposes of these lessons that we're getting into. And that's why I want you to understand the necessity for me to structure and to organize and to constantly go over the processes of this organization to make certain that you are informed as to what's going on in the ministry And also that it is meeting the purpose of the assignment that the Lord released unto me. And he released me to minister to the minister. I'm not ministering to the unbeliever or someone who is growing unto perfection, unto righteousness. I am ministering to those who have acknowledged and accepted their calling and want understanding on how to incorporate the giftings in which God has graced them with the calling that they have been assigned to. A lot of times people confuse their gift with their calling, and they go out there on gifts without being called. And when I say called, I'm not saying called as far as the acknowledgement that you have a gift that needs to be worked out. But when I say called, I mean someone who is not only called but chosen. There we go. That's a better word. Chosen for this particular dispensation to operate in the gifts and the understanding and the knowledge that has been relegated from them to operate as an authority on the earth. And so in order to do that, you need training. And you need to be placed under governors and tutors until the appointed time of the Father. And the Lord relinquished me to that right to operate as such. And so that's what I'm doing under his anointing. And so I always tell people all the time, and I said this in one of the teachings, you can take anything that you want from this particular organization and use it at will. But the grace that's on me to perform what I perform is not going to be duplicated or replicated because it's ordained for me to exist there. And the same for you. The benefit that I can get from you is not taking your grace, but applying the wisdom in communication of the graces that we exist in. And that's going to come through dialogue and communication. And this is one of the ways I communicate the graces that are upon my life for everyone that whosoever will. Amen. And so in order to do that, I've systemized it. On Sundays, we're going to do ministry. It's going to be ministry development Sundays. On Tuesdays, timeless teachings. On Thursday, we're going to be in the prime time study of the advanced word of God. So in order to do that, what I had to do was go over the processes of the programming to make certain that it is meeting the needs that I need conveyed each year. And I want to be able to give primary things, primary information to establish theology, primary information to establish where we stand as an organization, primary information as to how you can get help if there has been some distortion or error in your development, and then also primary information of where you can come and fellowship and enjoy the Word of God. And that's also, so those are some of my convictions concerning that. In order to do that, what the Lord was telling me to do is to establish a framing or a system that would be conducive to meet all those needs. In order to do that, I believe it's best that I communicate the theme of our year, which you will understand my standards of the ministry, my positioning of the timing in which we're in, so that way if you desire to be a part of this organization or be a part of the fellowship, you know the direction in which we're going. So we have a yearly theme each year. This year is the year of manifestation. And I don't normally co-sign with what everybody else is saying because, you know, a lot of times they get famous quotes in 2009, we're going to shine, 2010, we're going to do it again, 2011, we're going to heaven, 2012, all is well, 2013, I don't even know one for 13 yet, but you know, I mean, it just keeps going and going. And so a lot of times people do things like that, and I don't do things like that, but the Lord had told me that this year, there was a camaraderie among the prophets of old, and God would not do anything on the earth except he revealed it first to his prophets. The scripture says that there was a camaraderie, there was an agreement in the spirit that among a various wide a spectrum of prophets that this is the year of manifestation. Manifestation can be taken in various points. We've already talked about manifesting first our faith, and manifesting the authority of the spirit is what we're in this season. We have two other ones that are going on in the year. So we continue to enhance on the great manifesto, the spirit, manifesting the spirit or the life-led spirit, living the life or the lifestyle of the spirit. And so we we did that. And then on second Sundays is generally questions and answers. However, this week with me being out of time the last Thursday and Sunday being the yearly manifesto and you not having an idea of what I really want to bring about, there was really no time for you to call in for your questions so that way we could answer your questions. Now, there are various methods. You can email us at uswatradio.com. I'm sorry, uswatradio@gmail.com. You can write us questions, and you can call the information line, which is found on your website, on the Blog Talk Radio website. You can call the Blog Talk voicemail line and leave a voicemail, and we can actually take that clip anonymously and edit it and answer your question. Now, if you give me a question, I only want questions pertaining to the Bible, God's Word, pertaining to ministry, theology, and as it pertains to you as a minister of the gospel, and also anything that's ministry related. What I don't want it to be, I will answer certain questions as it pertains to ministry relationships, as far as relationships with people and things like that, because there may be some questions that you need to know as to that, but I don't want to get into a whole bunch of sexuality and relationships. We have a radio program called Spirit Straight Talk, and we give straight talk on issues such as that, and that's the radio program that you want to listen to as it revolves to your sexuality, your stand in righteousness, to who you are in Christ, to who you are as a male in Christ, who you are as a female in Christ, and as to that. But this particular program is not designed for that. This is designed with the minister in mind, and we're going to be ministry-oriented. So there may be questions that you ask that I will not respond to or will not answer if it does not fall into the category of ministry or ministry-related topics or biblical topics. Now, I will answer questions about the Bible. And I personally believe, some people say there's no such thing as a stupid question. I tend to disagree with that statement. There is a such thing as a stupid question. A stupid question is a question that is asked without true thinking. And I'm not going to allow my broadcast to be degraded with ignorant questions. So, and then I understand that there may be genuine questions that are asked ignorantly. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit will have to reveal to me, but I want well thought out questions. That means before you call in, make sure that you've written out your question and it makes sense. And I can literally write it down and it makes sense in a complete question. Don't have something that's just off the top of your head. I don't want off the top of your head. I want what the question is. And sometimes questions involve research. And a lot of times the reason why you don't have the answers is because you don't study to show yourself approved unto God. And that's what we need to do. And so I wanted to take time out to really reveal this, because this is supposed to be question and answer night, even though you know I'm going into acquiring the supernatural. I want you to understand which nature that I'm going into this, because I want to get into some serious ministry issues. And one of the things is we have wasted a lot of time with a lot of people because we're dealing with so many petty things that have nothing to do with ministry. And that's why there's a lot of problems in ministry. You know, I was listening to a preacher yesterday, and it was just sad to see when he was asking a question to another pastor who, had, of course, had been in the ministry much longer than he had been ever thinking about ministry. But he couldn't relate with the pastor who had been established in the Word, because he was looking at circumstantial evidences versus staying focused on his call, and he couldn't understand how you could stay focused and stay positive and minister to a congregation that's going through trials and things like that. And there's one, well, one, the Word wasn't final authority, of course. And I think I, I believe, and y'all pray with me, that I need to write a whole entire book on that one topic. Because I find everywhere I go, every place, time I open the scripture, I find that that's the starting point. The word of God has to be, that's it. It's not, they used to say, I believe it, or whether I read it, I believe it, I receive it. I never really liked that statement, because whether I read it, believed it, or received it doesn't change the fact of what it is. The word of God is final authority. So whether I read it, believed it, or not, it doesn't change the word, because the Lord doesn't change. And I think that's really the challenge with a lot of people when it pertains to the scriptures. The scriptures are fulfilled. They don't change. That's why you're not consumed. And when we understand that, then when we go to approach matters pertaining to the word, we'll understand, because the Lord doesn't change, his words don't change. His standards don't change. And if we understand that his standards don't change, then we can exist almost as he is on this world. Not almost. We can exist as he is in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world, the scripture says. And so, like I said before, there is a such thing as a stupid question, and I've defined to you what the question's guidelines are. I don't want to hear about your sexuality. I don't want to hear about a minister struggling with masturbation or a minister struggling with adultery. Well, one, you cannot be a minister, an effective minister or an effective clergy person struggling with those issues. And I say this, because when you represent God, you have to be in a state of righteousness. I was talking to a preacher, and this is good. I'll flow with it. We got 2 hours, so y'all can hear me on this. But I was talking to a preacher one time, and they were saying things like, I'm getting my life together, I'm starting back over afresh. And I sat there, and the Spirit kind of prompted me, checked my spirit, and said, what gives you the right to think that you could start afresh at this point? After you've already acknowledged the call of God that's on your life, after you've already existed as that type of authority, what makes you think that you can just wipe the slate clean as if God is just all ignorant? Because that's not the way it works. Unfortunately, that's many of the ministers' mindset, even to the ones who are listening to this broadcast. They think they can go out there, exist at one point, mess up, fall down, get back up, and then that process of restoration and all of that, as a minister, listen to what I'm saying, is exemplary in the life of God. And then they use concepts like the love of God is the means by which, of course, the love covers the multitude of sin, like love covers the multitude of ministry sin. No, it don't work like that. That's the wrong system. So we have to be retaught on some things, and that's why the Lord told me to be diligent, a diligent doctrinal teacher, because the doctrine, we first of all, has to be sound, but the only way it can be sound is it comes through the sound of the Spirit, because the words that I speak have to be Spirit in their life, and God will not have you begin a good work and not complete it. So As I get closer to the Lord and I begin to get fellowship with him, I've learned some things about the Lord, and he's a very fixed position. He's a fixed entity, divine. And I don't mean any disrespect, Father. I know that you're a person. I'm not, when I say entity, I don't mean any form of, but I want the body, Father, to know that you're more than just a person that they see face to face, that you are the creator of heaven and earth, my Father. So I don't mean any offense in the matter, but I'm trying to word the fear, the reverential fear, Father, of what you're conveying to me in the Spirit. So I apologize for my inadequate words, Father. But I want everyone to know that it's important that you, in ministry, that you keep your focus really on what God has requested of you. And that this is not no trial and error thing. No, you don't try and error in the Spirit. There's no such thing. The Spirit is governed by truth. And as you establish the walk, establish yourself in the Spirit, then truth is allotted to you, and light is shed abroad your path to guide you from one apparent truth to the next apparent truth, and then transitions can truly take place. Amen. And so, on these particular Sundays, there's ways to do it. Email me or you call the number on the Blog Talk Radio page that you can call as a voicemail, and you can call and ask pertaining to ministry. But like I told you, I don't want anything about adultery or masturbation on those questions that you ask, because you won't get a response and it won't be produced on the air. And I'm not taking live callers for that sake. I want questions that I can really answer as it pertains to ministry. And in order to do that, I have to go through the questions that are given me and say, does this pertain to ministry or is this just a character flaw? And if it's a character flaw, then you need to go back to the Creator. You need to go back into the presence of God. But if it's a ministry thing, I can exist as that because I'm an authority in ministry based on the grace of the Holy Spirit. So as the Spirit wills, of course, the Scripture says. And so it's important that I follow and set this directly. And I've allotted to this on last Tuesday, I believe, when I was on the air last. I allotted to this same thing because I want you to know exactly how to ask questions and to ask questions so that way we can really work out some solutions in the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit. And then, so, you know, on the first Sundays, I do my yearly themes. On the second Sundays, questions and answers. And on the third Sundays, we do our Through the Bible series. Now, this Thursday, we're doing Through the Bible because on the third Sunday, we have something else planned for the ministry. But on this particular Sunday on this particular Thursday, we're going to go through the Bible. Now, Through the Bible is a study that we go through each year, once a month. We go through the entire books of the Bible based on a commentary that I felt is beneficial to all of us that bears repeating and saying. And it's almost like a university. We're going to do division 4 and 5. There's 10 divisions. And so it takes us about 6 months to go through the entire lessons, but you're going to get a greater appreciation for the Word of God, a comprehensive overview of the Scriptures. And I think one of the best commentaries that I've found, simple commentary, easy read through, basic commentary of the Scriptures, is by Dr. Henrietta Mears, who lived in 1890 to 1963. And she was one of the great Bible teachers of the 20th century while Christian education. She was a Christian education director at the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. She built the largest Sunday school in the world and wrote curriculum that are still in high demand. And she founded the Gospel Light Publishing, or founded the Gospel Light Publishing Company in 1933. Such notable Christian leaders as Richard Halverson, Lewis Evans, Bill Bright were among her students, along with Billy Graham and So she's a classic. It's a classic bestseller, over 4 million in print. Clear, concise overviews of every book of the Bible, reading plans, maps, commentary. Dr. Henrietta Mears. Now we go through this book each. We go through all 10 divisions of the Bible, and we go, I think we do one division of reading, but on this particular Thursday we're going to do two. But if you keep identification, there's a simple test that you go through for each book. And if you turn that test in by email, we will send you a certificate of reading through the Bible. And we encourage every minister that listens to this program to go through that curriculum. And it's just a simple read-through, and you read through the lesson, and then you get the question. If you want the certificate, then you can take it and get the certificate at any time. It's a very nice certificate that we give you, and we'll type your name on there. And you'll get that certificate in the mail along with some other information. But Through the Bible is going to be done every third Sunday, with the exception of this particular Thursday, which we do two divisions, 4 and 5. And then on the third, on next month, we'll do division 2. So we'll continue to read through the Bible, but I think it's very important that every year we go through this curriculum. And so we're going to do that every third Sunday at from 10 to midnight. We will be on the divisions of the Bible, through the Bible. And then on the fourth Sundays of every month, if there's a fifth, there's a special program, but it's on the fourth Sundays of every month, which we know every month has at least 4 Sundays, ministry development training is going to occur, where we study on things like hermeneutics, homiletics, apologetics, how to study the Bible, pastoral skills, spiritual nourishment, things like that. We're going to go on lessons like that along with my commentary. So that would behoove you to get a part of that. And on Tuesdays, we're going to do timeless teachings, which are book studies. We're going to read books on doctrinal issues of the Word of God, and we're going to continue to reinforce it, reinforce it, reinforce it, reinforce it, reinforce it, and reinforce it. We're going to continue to do that. And then on Thursdays, Primetime Adventures in Primetime Adventures in Advanced Studies of Theology with me. So you'll get a chance to hear me teach ministers to ministers on that level, as you will tonight in tonight's lesson. So, you know, we've already been on for about 42 minutes, so we're going to go continue to study the Word of God, because I think it's the Word of God, and I don't only think it, I know it's the Word of God, that the power of God to live out our great salvation. And so in order to do that, we need to acquire the supernatural, acquire. Have you ever used the term acquire taste? Well, let's look to the Father, and let's get into this particular lesson as we discuss acquiring the supernatural.